This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
On the early afternoon of March 21st, 2025, a town hall was hosted by Indivisible Bozeman and Indivisible Park County. About 350 Montana citizens showed up, filling the large meeting room of the Bozeman Public Library to capacity, with about 200 more standing in the cold and wind outside the front entrance. Brian Castle moderated the event, introducing speakers Bruce Grubbs, a former Republican state legislator and Bozeman school board member, Bright Height Susan, a veteran from Helena who had moderated the veterans rally at the state capitol on March 14, 2025, selected audio of which can be found on the KGVM website. He was followed by Dr. Jerry Groggle, whose daughter and son-in-law were fired without warning from USAID and were currently stranded in Ecuador. And then, former Montana Republican Governor and Attorney General Mark Roscoe. Montana Senators Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy, as well as Representative Ryan Zinke, had been invited to attend and hear the concerns of their constituents. They had let it be known that they would not attend. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle quoted a spokesperson for Senator Sheehy responding, quote, "Senator Sheehy will not be attending the Indivisible event because he does not support and does not want to be associated with Indivisible's radical policies defunding police departments and abolishing ICE," end quote. The Chronicle quoted a spokesperson for Senator Daines saying, quote, "Indivisible is a far-left group funded by the radical wing of the Democrat SIC party and does not dictate the senator's schedule," end quote. In any case, Daines had flown to China, arriving Thursday evening. Representatives for Zinke did not respond to the Chronicle's request for comment. Anticipating their absence, the organizers had placed caricatures of the three, which were attached to chairs at the front of the room. You can judge for yourself from the audio of the town hall how radical the citizens who attended actually are.
So I'm Brian Castle. I'll be the moderator today. We want to acknowledge the traditional owners and stewards of the land on which we are meeting, and we pay respects to their elders past and present. I'm Brian. I live here in Gallatin County, just outside of Bozeman, southeast. So I'm simply a volunteer here, and a friend asked me to jump in and help, so here I am. I know the emotions among my friends and neighbors are running hot right now, so I assume emotions are running hot.
I'm not the fried chicken.
There you go. All right. I look out and I realize that this is just an extended group of friends and neighbors. With that being said, let's all be civil, respectful, and peaceful today, no matter who is or who isn't here. This gathering is a nonpartisan community conversation among concerned citizens, friends, and neighbors, where people who share an interest in learning about and understanding the issues and events unfolding within our government in Washington, D.C. and here in Montana. Everyone is welcome here today without regard to political affiliation or belief. We are recording today's event and we'll send it to our elected representatives. Let's show them who we are. So here's who I think we are. We're the good and kind people that hired them, and there's nothing radical at all about wanting to have conversations with them. This town hall was driven by the Indivisible Bozeman and Indivisible Park County groups, but it's certainly not limited to Indivisible members. The National Indivisible Organization has been characterized by the current administration as a left-wing organization whose only goal is to stop Trump and terrorize his supporters. Earlier this week, our local newspaper ran a story expressing the views of our elected officials. A spokesperson for Senator Daines said, "Indivisible is a far-left group funded by the radical wing of the Democrat Party and does not dictate the senator's schedule." A spokesman for Tim Sheehy had similar concerns, saying, "This is not a town hall, this is a left-wing political rally." And as for Ryan Zinke, He doesn't even have a local phone number or a local office, even though his official government website lists an office address at 601 Nichols Drive, number 5. There's no one there. The Trump administration has also suggested we are all paid protesters, and we don't deserve attention. This is not true. As context, a little bit of a history lesson, I guess, the town hall concept dates back to colonial times. By definition, a town hall is an event that allows constituent participation with a politician. Here in the United States, town halls have been a common way for national politicians to connect with their constituents during recesses and when they are in their home districts away from Washington, D.C. In normal times, politicians organized town halls because they wanted to hear from the people they were representing. These are not normal times, and this town hall in Bozeman, Montana was organized by us, the people. So let's get started. We invited our elected officials to attend today's event, and we got no takers. But in case they've changed their mind, I want to invite Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy, Representative Zinke, and Representative Downing, or any of their appointed staff representatives to take the seats reserved for them at this time. Any of you here? Senator Daines? No? Okay. So, since they're not here, we have some seats representing them. I might ask a few of our guests to help turn around the seats here, if you could give us a hand. So let's get these chairs turned around, if we can get some help doing that. These chairs were meant to take the place of our representatives who obviously could not be here, chose not to be here today. And the point of the town hall is to ask questions of our representatives or provide comments. Before we start with comments from everyone, we've got a few friends here to share their perspectives about the effects of the recent Trump, Musk, Doge actions on our community. After they speak here, then they'll head outside to tell their stories to the group out there. But first, we're going to start with Bruce Grubbs, who previously served in the Montana State Legislature. And Bruce, come on up. And
boy, what a crowd. It's great to be here with this group of people, and I see a lot of people I know, and we the people need to let our representatives know that if they don't do their job, we're going to be here to hold them accountable. So, anyway, my name's Bruce Grubbs. I was on the school board for 16 years. I served two terms in the legislature. I'm a lifelong Republican, so I'm not one of those radical left-wings. Well, I would say the Republican Party has left me. It's now the MAGA Party, so there are a few of us left. Governor Roscoe, you'll hear from. He was kicked out, and some of my friends in the Senate now are being kicked out of the Republican Party because they're too moderate. So, anyway. The organizers wanted me to tell a story. About a little over a month ago, we have a group that meets every Friday, and we go to different breweries and talk to each other, and one of them's back there with a sign against the wall. And we were talking about what's going on, like we do every Friday, and what can we do? So myself and three other elected officials, three of us former, and one is currently elected position, and one other person, wrote a letter to Senator Daines and asked him, we'd like to meet with you. We didn't threaten him or say anything. We're concerned about what's going on with the current administration in Washington, D.C. You give us a day and a time when you come and meet with people in Bozeman and let us have a conversation. We didn't say, you know, we're going to yell at you or anything like that. Crickets. I delivered a copy to the Bozeman office, directly to the person there, on February 20th. I mailed a copy to D.C. February 20th. We finally got responses yesterday. He probably sent something because he knew this was happening. But basically, he didn't say anything about our request to meet. He just says, oh, Doge is doing a great job, and, you know, this is going to save waste, fraud, and abuse, which no one's against taking out waste, fraud, and abuse, but it's how you do it. I think people remember Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich worked together, and they actually balanced the budget back in the early 90s by working together and having a plan. But that's not what's going on now. Now it's disrupting lives all over the country. Probably 6-7 years ago, I read a book. How many know who Sinclair Lewis is?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever read the book, It Can't Happen Here?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it foresaw what's going on right now. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It was written in 1935 during Hitler's rise, and a lot of similarities between what was happening then and now. You know, we have three branches of government. Our founders wanted three equal branches because they didn't want a king anymore. So the legislative branch was to represent the people, the judicial branch was to interpret the law, and the executive was to sort of run the country, but they didn't want him to be a king. So they said, legislature, well, first of all, judicial, interpret the law and the executive should follow it. If he pushes back, then the legislative branch should stand up because their power is purse and they're the ones that create all the laws that the executive is supposed to be enforcing. Well, obviously our current president is trying to push the limits. And in fact, right now, he's starting to ignore judges' orders, and that's where we cross the line. And that's when the people, if our representatives aren't representing us, we need to be out there telling them, this can't happen, we need to stop it. We want our representatives to listen to us, maybe hopefully they will, eventually. But I know a lot of the Republicans have been told not to. We told Senator Daines in our letter, we aren't gonna yell and scream at you, we just want a conversation. But they're all afraid. They're not afraid of us as much as they're afraid of their fearless leader. That's all I have to say, and thank you for having me.
So our next speaker contacted us yesterday to let us know they won't be able to tell their story today. I'm going to tell their story for them. You'll find out this might be the best news you've heard today. This comes from a young person who was a seasonal employee with the National Park Service. They loved to work, and when the opportunity to work full-time arose, they jumped at the chance. About a year ago, they were hired for a permanent position with the National Park Service. For a young person just out of college, that's an incredible way to start a professional career. On February 14th, they received an email notifying them that they were fired from their position, effective immediately, just weeks shy of the end of their probationary period. They were being fired because they failed to demonstrate fitness or qualifications for continued employment because their subject matter knowledge, skills, and abilities do not meet the department's current needs. However, their performance reviews reflected very positively on the work they conducted to support critical aspects of the National Park Service mission. They were told that being approved to collect unemployment was highly unlikely, as they were fired for supposed poor performance. They have been unemployed and dismayed, searching for a job ever since. That is until this week, when they and thousands of other probationary federal workers received notice that they would be reinstated thanks to a court ruling a few days ago. Our judicial branch in action. We're sorry they can't be here to tell their story today, but we're thrilled to have them back in our national parks. So next up, we have Brett to come on and share a story with us.
Thank you. My name's Brett Heitzhusen. I'm a veteran from Helena. In my time of service, or even post-9/11, veterans have been wrapped in the flag and lauded by politicians as true American heroes. But like any vulnerable group, history hasn't been so kind to us. And those people who have leveraged their valor of service to distract us from their loyalty to party and to Trump cast a shadow on the patriotism many of us feel for belonging to that long tradition of United States military service. Congressman Troy Downing is a veteran. He quotes the combat search and rescue motto on his bio, "These things we do that others may live." I guess the sense of sacrifice and humanity ended when he took office. Now he stands up for tax cuts and DOGE hacks as the careers and healthcare of veterans are relentlessly dismantled. Trump just signed an order to shut down the Department of Education. There's been no comment from Congress or our representatives. Something is very wrong. This is not normal. Trump advisor Alina Habab said veterans are perhaps not fit to have a job at this moment. Trump thinks we're suckers and losers for dying in the mud, being captured and tortured, exposed to hazardous substances, coming home with parts missing, families broken. All our lives were changed, and we all served. And this administration thinks we're suckers and losers for believing that our service benefits would be respected. Congressman Ryan Zinke is a fifth-generation Montanan and a former Navy SEAL, but he doesn't give a damn that Montana's representation in Washington is silent, as critical and life-sustaining care is interrupted, medication prescriptions are in limbo, cancer tests are delayed, mortgages are on the line, and the hard Montana frontier is a little more bleak. To quote Lincoln, "Having ever regarded government as their deadliest bane, they make a jubilee of the suspension of its operations and pray for nothing so much as its total annihilation. I have lost all trust in Downing and Zinke and Daines and Sheehy. It wouldn't surprise me if the next letter they send blames Biden for Trump's tariffs and the trade war." USDA has already pledged $10 billion to U.S. farmers to shield them from the Trump administration's economic downturn. Where's our savings checks from the DOGE code? Our reps tell me this is all about the federal debt and cutting bloated department administrations, but all I see is frontline on-the-ground workers losing their jobs. There's no plan other than to end federal services to the poor and vulnerable, to break the American spirit and enrich themselves through our bankruptcy. And yes, people were fired and now are hired, but that doesn't mean those jobs have a future. The VA still plans to fire 83,000 people. Over one quarter of those are veterans. The Pentagon is firing 60,000 people. Many military personnel become civilian contract employees for their career fields because they spend their lives working a job that has no civilian counterpart. Department of Education, Trump has promised to shut down, but in their RIF they plan already for 1,300 people to be fired. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is firing 1,000 people. Can you guess where combat weather airmen want to go work after their service? The IRS is firing 45,000 people. How does a government resolve debt with no revenue? It's clear that these men have a wild and furious passion to retire all government employees. It's called rage. Look it up. Veterans aren't safe because this month Trump decided to abide by the court's ruling. Senator Daines and Congressman Zinke and Downing are all up for re-election next November 3rd, 2026. Their instability, uncertainty, and incompetence with people's lives is disgusting. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you, Brett. Thanks for your service and to all the veterans and service members who have served and continue to serve our great country. Jerry, can you come up? Jerry is a father, and his daughter and son-in-law, USAID employees, are stranded in Ecuador.
As I was sitting here waiting for the meeting to start, I was looking outside. I saw this little boy playing out in the snow, five or six, and my thought was, what kind of country in the world is he going to inherit? What are our grandchildren going to inherit? I want to start with a geography question for you. Does anyone know the only country in Africa that has a ski resort? Lesotho. How do I know that? Because my daughter served there. I'm a longtime Bozeman resident, retired physician. I still teach medical students. But I have a daughter and son-in-law who used to work for USA. They no longer work for them. and I want to tell you a little bit about them. They've worked in so many countries I couldn't remember all, so I had to write down all these African nations where they served. Lesotho, Burundi, Benin, Democratic Republic of Congo, Niger, Liberia, Tanzania, or among others. Most recently, though, they were in Kyrgyzstan, which is a country that's a little bit south of Russia, much like Montana. They then were in Ukraine, and they were there when the war started, and they had to be evacuated, and they safely made it home. They didn't know whether their possessions would ever make it home, but they did. And when they got evacuated from Ukraine, they still worked on issues in Ukraine from Washington, D.C. And most recently, the last 2 years, they've been in Ecuador working for USAID. My daughter works on gender issues. And when I say gender issues, I don't want you to misunderstand. She works for women's rights. She's passionate about that. Passion began when she served in the Peace Corps in Togo many years ago. She was in Benin when there was a coup and had to hide out in a hotel with bullets flying all over. But they just found out recently, too, like so many people who work for USAID, that they've lost their job. They've been there with them for 12 years. The people making these decisions aren't very bright because they fired everyone. There was no one around to arrange travel home for them. So they don't know when they'll be coming home. They don't know when their possessions are going to be coming home. So they're in this holding pattern in Ecuador. But they'll be coming back to the U.S. probably sometime this spring. And they will, along with many others with the same skill set, be flooding the market looking for jobs. And there won't be many jobs for them. These are people who are passionate about serving the underserved and making things right around the world. The money spent there is doing nothing but building up goodwill for our country and make them realize we are a people that care about the underserved. We're not a people who wants to go to war, who wants to take over other countries like Canada or Greenland or whatever. But we just care about others and want to help them. And they've been doing that for 12 years. They did own a home in Washington, D.C., which they'll have to sell because most of their savings are in that, and they're without a job now, and they're going to need those savings. So I just wanted to share their story and their experience. But I'm going to leave you with this. My daughter said to me, Laura, she said, Dad, you know what the hardest thing is about this? And she's talking about losing a job in USAID being shut down. She said the hardest thing is that so many people are happy.
Yeah.
That was the hardest thing. So I just thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. I thank the organizers. And we need to get replace Steve and Tim and Ryan and Troy.
Thank you, Jerry. Is Governor Roscoe here in the room?
He's here.
I don't think much of an introduction is needed, but Governor Roscoe has made his mission in recent years to bring attention to the peril of our constitutional government. It was birthed 237 years ago. The Honorable Mark Roscoe is a former Attorney General and two-term governor of the great state of Montana. Let's hear your message.
Good heavens. I didn't realize there were so many of you in here. It looked like they were all outside when I was just out there. Well, I'm delighted to be here, and I thank everyone that organized the event, especially Kay, for inviting me and allowing me to be a part. I have been concerned for some period of time about the possibilities for our democracy to be corroded and eroded over time without due care and attention and recommitment on behalf of all of us. It took almost 2 centuries of tyranny and war and suffering for our ancestors, desperate for liberty and self-determination, to design a system of constitutional government that has endured for 237 years. They arrived on the shores of Virginia in 1607, and it was 180 years thereafter that they finally discovered a means of governing themselves based upon liberty and independence and upon the pre-choice and consent of the people who lived together at the time. They met in Philadelphia, as you know, in the summer of 1787 to design and agree upon a form of government their ancestors had never known. They knew the law of the jungle. They knew about monarchies, theocracies, and autocracies, and oligarchs, and all of the various forms of different governing structures. None of them, of course, suited their needs, their wants, or their desires, or their dreams. It was the resolute belief of those who gathered in Philadelphia, 89 days, that they needed to, at the end of the day, create a constitution for the United States of America, and that thereafter gave birth to the longest functioning democracy in human history. It was also the resolute belief of the founders that for the Constitution to endure, it must be imbued with civic virtue. It was civic virtue placing the public good ahead of one's own self-serving desires that would ultimately hold the Union together. And only from that altruistic union would liberty and justice arise and prevail. The experience of here today, when you think about it, we're bound by each other's presence, looking into each other's eyes, committing to a level of communication and discussion that's civil and thoughtful and careful. That is the glue that holds us together. Sadly, there are some of our fellow citizens and leaders who believe that civic virtues, those civic virtues of the Constitution, are for suckers and losers, that seeking to make a more perfect union is naive and a waste of time, and all that matters is political party loyalty, rejection of compromise, and winning at all costs. Constitutional virtues we all hear about, but sometimes fail to articulate. They include humility, self-restraint, liberty, courage, truth, moderation, patience, compassion, respect for contrary opinion, and adherence without exception to the rule of law. Repudiation of those virtues weakens the bonds that hold us together, which inevitably leads to civil disorder, and that, as night follows day, leads to the ruination of our democracy. If this sounds familiar, it's because it is. The extremist ideology of the majorities in Congress, the unsparing demands of allegiance by and for the presidents, his relentless pursuit of power, control, and attention, his reckless compulsion to disassemble and terminate, those are his words, not mine, certain articles of the Constitution, all reveal a dangerous and autocratic compulsion to control everything, including all three branches of our government. We understand that reform and improvement of governmental efficiency can produce disruption, even when undertaken lawfully and with due process. But the lawless laying of waste presently and repetitively unfolding across the country, creating emergencies, injury, and pain in every direction, is nowhere near a normal or expected consequence of legitimate reform. It appears and feels more like the work of unknown investigators, puffed up with power, operating under the color of law, creeping through the federal buildings in the nation's capital, looking for conflict without conscience, inspired simultaneously by ignorance and arrogance, and thereby looting the heart and soul of America. Neither the President nor the Republicans in Congress appear to even remotely comprehend the risk of their frontal assault on the Constitution, nor to remember that as the world turns, generations who follow will inevitably end up reaping what they now sow. The president calling for impeachment of a judge who doesn't rule in his favor, defying court orders, encroaching on the powers of the judicial branch, betraying his oath of office, the cruel deprecation of his fellow citizens and adversaries reveals the complete lack of respect or concern for the rule of law, the essential virtues of the Constitution, and the oath of office that he has taken, promising each of us to faithfully protect and defend the law and the Constitution of the United States. Our Democratic Republic, though we've been blessed with it and devoted to it for 237 years, is nonetheless fragile. It is, after all, when you think for a moment, based upon the consent of every one of us, every American. We cannot be forced or compelled to embrace it. We must choose it with our voices and our actions. Our promise to each other has been and must forever be to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, to practice the self-discipline required of every American to maintain order, and to respect our fellow citizens and the differences of view they may hold. To those who seek to lead us, we the people, at this existential moment of peril, intend to be more than observers. We intend to be informed. We insist on being heard. We presume faithful obedience to the oath of office. And we demand, as God gives us the right to demand, loyalty to the Constitution and the rule of law.
Wow. Thank you. One final question before you step down. We have some other folks asking questions. Do you have one question that you would pose to our representatives?
Yeah, I do have a question. I would like assurances from everyone who represents this and is it, and occupies the position of being able to respond to the question that every single court order issued by every single federal court judge having jurisdiction over the matter under consideration will be obeyed by the President of the United States.
Okay, so we are going to start taking some questions now. I would ask that we don't speechify, because we've done a little bit already. We want to get as many people to comment as possible. So, and what I'd urge you to do is, if you have written comments, we have a box, we're going to collect those in on your way out. But if you think of one question or one comment that you would like to leave with any or all of our elected representatives, I think we have our first volunteer.
My name's Bill Stevens from Bakersfield. I want you all to know that I've been a citizen of the USA since April 18, 1949, and I don't like what's happening. Yeah. Not one particle. I do have some comments, and all I want to do is I want to remind them what Ms. Cheney had to say in regards to their behavior. I don't know if you all remember it or not, but it was towards the very end of that January 6th investigation and committee work. And she told her colleagues, she says, there'll come a time when Donald Trump no longer exists, and he'll be gone from the political scene. But then she says, but I want my colleagues to understand that their dishonor will live forever.
Got that?
Yeah. The dishonor will live forever. So I ain't going to say much more. A few things about Donald Trump, and this is going to be really brief. He's weak, he's ignorant, and he's pathetic.
Yeah.
And he knows it. And everybody in this room knows it. Ames knows it, and the other two Yahoos know it. All the Republicans that are scared to death of him. They're all mortgaged. They mortgaged their lives to that guy, to Donald Trump. They mortgaged him. And so they'll never, as long as Donald Trump's holding the paper, they'll never stand against him. It's goddamn shame. I think I shouldn't have said that. But I will say this. I will say this, I want you to look at the back of my jacket.
Yeah.
I want you to know that peace means more than signing a non-aggression pact and laying down your arms and going home and not fighting anymore. Peace to me, you guys, is life without chaos. Can you leave that, life without chaos?
Yeah,
we will stand up for that too.
Yeah.
One more thing I want to tell you, since you see the back of my jacket, the T, you don't know what that T stands for, does it? That stands for take no from Trump.
Hi, I'm Lisa Farina. I'm from Butte. I drove from Butte for this. And two questions. One is a freedom of speech question, or freedom of the press, really. And the other one is about Medicaid and the corporate autocrats. Which one do you want? Okay, well, the first one's a little bit long, but I'll go quickly. Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy, Congressman Zinke, I believe very strongly in free speech and access to good information. Why haven't you spoken up about President Trump's attacks on mainstream press sources like ABC, CBS, CNN, the Associated Press, and Reuters about his banning the AP from the White House press events and his decision to have the White House determine which news outlets are in its press pool, thus overturning a 70-year practice of having the White House Correspondents Association choose the members of the press pool? Why have you allowed the State Department to order cancellation of news subscriptions from news sources like AP and the New York Times from its embassies and consulates? Why are you not speaking out against Trump's executive order, which shut down the Agency of Global Media, thus silencing or possibly transforming into propaganda outlets? The Voice of America, Radio Free Europe, and Radio Liberty.
Yes.
Without a word, Trump's constant verbal attacks of the press. Why have you not defended the First Amendment by explaining to the American public that the press is not the enemy of the people?
Yes.
And the second one, Senator Daines, Senator Sheehy, Congressman Zinke, we cannot have a society where the top 1% continue to make out like bandits while the bottom 80% are struggling to make ends meet.
Yes.
Moreover, we cannot have a society where the 20% that depend on Medicaid are literally afraid for their lives. We can't have it. What do you have to say to that?
Thank you.
I'm not even sure if I'm allowed to speak here, but I'm foreigner. You might categorize me as a left-wing person because I listen to Bernie Sanders. Politicians here. I'm married to one of the finest ladies. Why am I raising my hand and want to tell you something? I hitchhiked 4 times throughout the United States. And I was always welcome and supported. If I do this today, and that's my message, I know I will be treated the same way. You know why? Because the people did not change. The people are the same. Only one man divided this country, okay, into a very small minority against the rest. And only the people can fix it. There's nobody else who will fix it for you, okay? So if I look back into German history, there was in 1989, the Berlin Wall was torn down by 2 great politicians, Helmut Kohl and Gorbachev. And what you politicians are doing, dividing the country and putting up more walls, is just not right. So much really to say, and my heart is for you, but I want to say you're not alone. The whole Western world is looking for you.
Yeah.
One simple question for these guys, but to start off first, I want to thank everybody for coming out. And if you have any questions from them, because it's we the people, not we the senators, not we the representatives. Simple as that. But the question is this. First of all, there was a continuing resolution which gave Trump and the executive branch more power over what gets appropriated through constitutionality and that they can cut it off whenever they want, basically giving them the power of the purse halfway to the executive branch, halfway to the legislatures. And that includes a person named Elon Musk who came here illegally from Canada as an immigrant and built an American dream. I have no problem with immigration. Obviously, it's what makes America through assimilation and immigration. We are a nation of immigrants, simply put. But the question for these people, as hypocrites, I would say, is why are you being hypocritical and letting an immigrant take your job as representatives in Congress, who are supposed to have the power of the purse, and not give it to the executive branch and break the three branches of government into one, making unitary executive power? So that doesn't make any sense to me why you guys will romp out here and tell the construction workers, who are also immigrants and also U.S. citizens, that an immigrant's taking your job, and you walk into Congress and sign a bill that says, hey, immigrant, here's my job. So that's just the question. Thank you, guys.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is for all three of these representatives. I really don't understand why it has to be up to the courts to try and remedy the theft that's been occurring in Washington, D.C. with Elon Musk and Elon Musk. All three of these gentlemen, where were you when the president gave unfettered access to agency records? And who would be writing monthly checks to the people of Montana when there's some stock coming from the U.S. government? Will it be you, Senator Daines? Or you, Senator Sheehy? I'm sure you could afford it. Or will it be the congressman? Or even Governor Gianforte? Jeff Bezos? Mark Zuckerberg? All these people that are benefiting from the things that are going on back there? This is our money, senators and congressmen, not the spoils of kleptocrats who are trying to buy your votes. We loan these hard-earned dollars to the government to invest on our behalf over our entire working lives. It's time to put away the rubber stamp and start serving the people of Montana and the rest of America.
My name is Orville Bach. I live here in Bozeman. I could ask a lot of questions, but I'm 78 years old. I'm independent, and I'm a veteran. I served as a combat launch control officer up at Malmstrom Air Force Base. And I can't tell you what it's like to go out to the alternate command post where you have 250 nuclear warheads at your disposal. And I could tell you some very frightening things about what then was the Soviet Union did during my 4 years of service. It absolutely frightens me to think that Donald Trump has the nuclear codes. I don't understand Mr. Dane, Zinke, and Sheehy, especially the two of you who served as veterans, why you think it's okay to suddenly kowtow to Vladimir Putin. He's a murderous dictator. I don't understand why they are throwing a democracy attempt in Ukraine away, throwing away our allies in Canada and Mexico, and kowtowing to Russia and Putin. That would be my number one question. What is going on? Thank you.
I'm really glad to be here with all of you wild liberals. For a long time. What is a liberal and what is a conservative? Because I've never figured out where I fit. And I'm going to fit in someplace. And I remember in the paper the Danes saying, why should he bother to come here? It's just a bunch of left-wing liberals. And what if I got an interest in them? And that really got me thinking, because I concluded, okay, I'll be one of those left-wing liberals. And the reason is because I believe in the Constitution. I believe in the separation of powers. And I also believe in families, and I'm conservative about wildlife and that it be preserved for all of us. Honesty does not make me a liberal. So I stand here before you today. I'm sad. I feel a terrible kind of sadness all the time. because of what's happening to our country.
Right, you are.
And I think we're under a massive kind of depression because we can't make sense out of it. It really sends our intellectual life, our spiritual life, our idea of fairness and justice. So I'm glad to see you here today because it makes me happier. Thank you so much.
What's your name?
So we are over our time, which is great. Again, there's a box in back to drop your comments and questions in. We're going to send everything to Steve Baines, our senior senator, who is a Bozeman resident, graduate of both Bozeman High and MSU. I want to encourage all of you to contact our elected representatives. Tell them you're a constituent, not a paid protester, and they work for you and us. Let them know you're disappointed they weren't here today. Let's all look out for each other and keep each other safe today and tomorrow and going forward. We're so glad you're here and that you care. Hope to see you at the courthouse at noon on April 5th. And we can join the group outside, and I think they're... This land is your land.
You have just heard the audio from the town hall held at the Bozeman Public Library in the early afternoon of March 21st, 2025. About 350 Montana citizens attended the gathering, which had been organized by Indivisible Bozeman and Indivisible Park County. Although Senators Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy and Representative Ryan Zinke had been invited to hear concerns from their constituents, none attended. This has been a Beyond the Deep End production, recorded and produced by Joy LaClaire for broadcast and archiving on KGVM Bozeman, Gallatin Valley Community Radio. KGVM is listener-supported community radio, entirely volunteer-staffed, and depends on the financial contributions of our listeners. It's free to listen to, but it's not free to keep on the airwaves. You can do your share to keep this grassroots channel of communication of, by, and for our community thriving by going to kgvm.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page, where you can find different ways to support our community radio station. We thank you for listening and for your support.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway, I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. And rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was a-sounding, this land was made for you and me. There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. A sign was painted, said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust clouds rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.